Shalom. This is Billy Brim of the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast, and we're on our second week of going through the book, Growing Up Spiritually, by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's so necessary, and I don't see people get this book off the shelves very much. So that's why we want to get it into their hands, because we need a grown-up, mature church, a mature body to work with the head in these last days. Now, Brother Hagin, in this book, he likens, since we're born, the Bible did it. The Bible likens being born and spiritual growth spiritually to like natural baby, newborn baby, and natural growth. And so we're now, Brother Hagin's going through the stages of babyhood, childhood, and then he'll eventually get to manhood. And right now we're on the chapter talking about childhood, and the subtitle today is talkativeness. These are Brother Hagin's words. Children have never learned the value of silence. They're talkative. And you will find folks in the childhood stage of spiritual growth are nearly always talking. Did you know the Word of God has something to say along this line? It tells us, quote, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin," or "lacketh not sin." Proverbs 10:19. And Ecclesiastes 5:3, "A fool's voice is known by multitude of words." We need to learn to be quiet. A child doesn't know any better, so he's always blabbing. You know, I think sometimes when the gifts of the Spirit are working, or when we're in prayer out at Prayer Mountain, and or in a service, and the Holy Spirit starts working, there will come a silent time sometimes. And oftentimes, that doesn't mean we're waiting on a word to be spoken or a tongue to be given. It means we're listening. And God's dealing with us. And oftentimes, people who are not so keen will feel like they need to fill the space.
Right.
And I heard Brother Hagin call a man down one time for doing that. And the man got his feelings hurt. But really, after that, people learned. if sometimes you do speak. But sometimes there's a time for being quiet, even in your own prayer. Prayer's got a listening side to it.
Right. I think, too, there's an honor. There's an honor. It's you honor the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it grieves
him. And it's learning how to honor. Yeah. So how would that be? That would be not speaking. Or sometimes
follow,
I know,
the leader.
Yeah. And that's when people are learning how to those things in the Spirit. And one especially is they might have something, but it doesn't mean it's to be given right then.
That's right. And that's where another, maturity comes in.
Right.
When you're mature, you'll know when to talk and when not to talk. I mean, after all, there is preaching. That's mm-hmm. talking.
Right.
And I have with me today, we didn't recognize them, but I have Jared, my grandchildren, Jared and Hannah. They are brother and sister. And so they're kind of giving another generation's point of view as we go along. Brother Hagin says, "I remember one time when my boy was 3 years old." Now, Hannah said, we've been taking turns reading. She said, "You read this one." I know that's because she looks at Pastor Kenneth Hagin as even a father and grandfatherly figure to her when she was in Rhema. So it's kind of hard for her to read when he was 3 years old without laughing. And imagining how he would have been. But I can see it. I can see how Ken would have been like this. And Brother Hagin says, "I remember one time when my boy was 3 years old. We'd gotten into bed late one Sunday night after church. I had preached twice and was tired. We all slept in one large room. He was in a bed across the room from us. The baby, who is Pat, his daughter Pat Harrison now, was in her crib. The lights were out and it was dark. 'Daddy,' he said, 'I hadn't gone to sleep, but I thought if I pretended to be asleep, he would hush and go to sleep. 'Daddy,'
I didn't say anything. Daddy, I didn't say anything. Daddy, I didn't say anything. And he just kept getting a little louder. Daddy. Finally, my wife nudged me and said quietly, why don't you answer that child? I whispered back, knowing him, he'll start talking. He was 3 years old and didn't know anything about the value of silence. He got started talking and you couldn't get him to shut up. I thought if I didn't answer him, he would think I was asleep and shut up, but he just kept getting louder. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Finally, I said, what is it, son? What's tomorrow? I said, oh, be quiet and go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep. Well, what's tomorrow? It's Monday. Now go to sleep. What's the next day? It's Tuesday. Is tomorrow always Monday? No, tomorrow is not always Monday. When tomorrow gets here, then tomorrow will be Tuesday. I thought you said it was Monday. Well, it was Monday, but when Monday gets here, then tomorrow will be Tuesday. If tomorrow is Monday, how can it be Tuesday? Well, that's just the way it is. What's the next day? It's Wednesday. Will it ever be tomorrow? Yes. Now hush and go to sleep. What's the next day? Thursday. What's the next day? Friday. What's the next day? Saturday. What's the next day? Sunday. That's today. Is Sunday always today? No, it's just a day today. When Monday gets here, it will be today. I thought you said it was tomorrow. Now you have me confused. I want you to be quiet, and if you don't be quiet, I'm going to get up and give you a whipping. Like natural children, spiritual children have never learned the value of silence. We need to be watchful about what we say. There was a fellow called Father Nash, who used to go along ahead of Charles Finney, the great revivalist. And he would go ahead of him and get a few folks together to pray for the revival. Someone once asked Finney, do you know a little preacher by the name of Father Nash? Finney said, yes, sir. He goes along ahead of time and prays for the revival. I don't have him hired. He just took it upon himself to do it. What kind of a fellow is he? This person asked. Well, Finney said, he's just like any other fellow who prays. He's a fellow of few words. Folks who are talking all the time are usually guilty of at least three sins. They're often guilty of evil speaking, talking about and discussing the faults and failures of people not present. They're often guilty of vain speaking, always talking about themselves, what I've done, what I'm going to do, where I've been. And they are often guilty of foolish speaking, jesting, joking, and things that are unprofitable. Number one, evil speaking, talking about and discussing the faults and failures of people not present. We'll soon get through with this negative side of growing up and get on to the positive side, but this side needs to be dealt with too. I was holding a meeting in Oklahoma when my son was about 12. And remember, this is Brother Kenneth E. Hagin talking. We had a 4-day weekend holiday, so I drove down to Texas and brought him back to spend a few days with me. I was gone so much of the time and didn't get to be with him. So we stayed in the parsonage with the pastor and his wife. One day at the table, the pastor got to talking about some of the church members, airing some of their faults and failures. I noticed my boy just kept looking at him. Finally, I said to him right at his own table, Brother, I wish you wouldn't talk that way in front of my boy. He looked at me rather startled. I said, I'd rather you'd curse in front of him. That wouldn't register on him. He wouldn't pay any attention to that. But for the 12 years I've pastored, he always thought every member we ever had was an angel. They weren't, any more than all his angels. His members were angels. But Ken thought of them all as if they were sprouting wings. He didn't know that was just their shoulder blades sticking out. He'd never heard his parents say one word about any deacon, Sunday school teacher, superintendent, or church member. You need to be careful about what you say around children and other people as well. I remember one dear soul, bless her heart, every time we took prayer requests, she would say, pray for so-and-so, and she'd call her husband's name. He came with her every once in a while, and even if he were there, she'd never stop to think about it. She would get up and call his name and ask for prayer. He rather liked me, and I'd go visit him. We'd talk about the Bible. To tell you the real truth about it, he knew more about the Bible than she did. And in talking to him, I learned some things. I learned where she was missing it. I tried to talk to her about it, but it didn't help. So one Wednesday afternoon, when there wasn't anyone there but us, when she said, "Pray for so-and-so," one Wednesday night service, no one there but the church members. When she said, "Pray for so-and-so," I said, "Sister, we're not going to do it." I answered her right back from the pulpit and said, "We're not going to do it. Don't turn in another prayer request for him. We prayed and prayed, but you undo all our prayers. You run home from church every single time some woman in the church looks a little hatefully at you, you think, and you tell your husband what an awful person she is. And if the preacher doesn't preach just to suit you, you run home and tell him what an awful person the preacher is. I know, I've talked to him. He couldn't have known it unless you told him. He knows more about what's going on down at this church than anyone in the church. You run home and tell him everything that is, and a lot of things that ain't. You rehash everybody's faults, failures, and shortcomings. And as long as you're going to do that, you're going to undermine the effects of our prayers." I learned to appreciate that dear soul. She had enough sense to listen, and she straightened up. She became a splendid Christian, and he got saved. I dealt what seemed like severely with her, but she took it. She wasn't an ignoramus. People who do have a little something upstairs are able to know when you're telling them the truth. Some folks would never know, and you just have to help them the best you can. Now, I'm going to go back to this. I was in ministry. This is Billy Brim. I'm doing my own talking right now. And when your mother was little and her sister and brothers and my husband, Kent, I would come home from work. You'd hear all kinds of things. I would come home from work. I would never say one thing about anybody. And I have never that I can remember talked bad about other ministers. You all don't hear me, do you?
No, we know that you're known for that. Even around our friends, they're like, "Miss Billy doesn't say any, she doesn't say anything negative."
No, I don't. Because, well, for one thing, I don't want to say it in front of my children. I sat under Brother Hagin. I heard him teach this. I don't want my children affected by it. I want them to love the Lord. And ministers are people, and sometimes they do miss it. But they might have repented that night. Who am I to go the next day spreading it all around town? And so this is such an important part. This is such an important part of growing up spiritually. Ministers must not be talking about other ministers. And Jared, I'm going to tell this story because Jerry Savelle told it. He's told it publicly. And Jerry Savelle, in his house where he lives in Crowley, Texas, there's evidently a body of water right behind his bedroom. And I had said it's been about a year ago now. He sat up in the middle of the night. He told me he was wide awake, and it looked like somebody was coming across that body of water, either a pond or a lake. And it was a light, and it got closer, 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 and a man walked right into his bedroom, and it was Buddy Harrison. And Buddy Harrison had been gone already and living in heaven, Brother Hagin's son-in-law. He said, "Buddy, is that you?" "Yes." "Have you brought me a message from heaven?" "Yes." "What is it?" "Ministers must stop talking about other ministers. It is more serious than you know, and it has to stop." "How do you know, Buddy?" "Buddy said the angels tell us." And they put their heads down and their wings together when they tell us, "It has to stop, folks. We have to grow up. We have to stop being a baby church talking about each other. Jesus is coming." Shalom, shalom.